the Pran Pratishta, the establishment of life, all these Bij mantras, Om, the infinite beyond conception, creation, the first letter, consciousness, Maya, the cause of the movement of the subtle body to perfection and beyond, the path of fulfillment, control, subtle illumination, one with the earth, emancipation, the soul of peace, the soul of delight, the soul of unity, all this is I, perfection, infinite consciousness, this is I. Om Maya, increased dissolution to the supreme female divinity, Kali. I am one with God. You are the life of this life. Om, the infinite beyond conception, creation, the first letter, consciousness, Maya, the cause of the movement of the subtle body to perfection and beyond, the path of fulfillment, control, subtle illumination, one with the earth, emancipation, the soul of peace, the soul of delight, the soul of unity, all this is I, perfection, infinite consciousness, this is I. Om Maya, increased dissolution to the supreme female divinity, Kali. I am one with God. You are situated in this life or individual consciousness. Om, the infinite beyond conception, creation, the first letter, consciousness, Maya, the cause of the movement of the subtle body to perfection and beyond, the path of fulfillment, control, subtle illumination, one with the earth, emancipation, the soul of peace, the soul of delight, the soul of unity, all this is I, infinite consciousness, this is I, Om Maya, increase, dissolution to the supreme female divinity, Kali, I am one with God, you are all these organs of action and knowledge. Om, the infinite beyond conception, creation, the first letter, consciousness, Maya, the cause of the movement of the subtle body to perfection and beyond, the path of fulfillment, control, subtle illumination, one with the earth, emancipation, the soul of peace, the soul of delight, the soul of unity, all this is I, perfection, infinite consciousness, this is I. Om Maya, increased dissolution to the supreme female divinity, Kali. I am one with God. You are all these vibrations, mind, sound, eyes, ears, tongue, nose, and the life force. Bring forth infinite peace and establish it forever. I am one with God. I bow to the goddess Kali who takes away darkness. Om Krum, in the thumb I bow. Om Krim, in the forefinger, I am one with God. Om Krum, in the middle finger, purify. Om Krang, in the ring finger, cut the ego. Om Krong, in the little finger, ultimate purity. Roll our hands forwards and backwards, reciting, Om, I bow to the goddess Kali with weapon of virtue. Om, I bow to the goddess Kali who takes away darkness. Om Krong in the heart I bow. Om Kring on the top of the head, I am one with God. Om Krum on the back of the head, purify. Om Kring, crossing both arms, cut the ego. Om Krom in the three eyes, ultimate purity. Om, I bow to the goddess Kali with the weapon of virtue. Om in the head and stream in the genital, aim in the anus, stream in the navel, aim in the heart, cleam in the throat, fame in the third eye, om in the right arm, stream in the left arm, cream in the right foot, cling in the left foot, krong in the back. Om, I bow to the goddess Kali who takes away darkness. And now the hymn of the establishment of life. Thus has the life force been established in you, and thus the life force has flowed into you. Thus to you, God, offering is made, and in this way, make us shine. So now we're going to sing this lead, the deity in the pot that we've just established. But we'll sing it when we establish the deity in a murti. This is the Pran Pratishta Sukta, the song of the establishment of life. So we can sing it wherever we've established life. In our heart, in the fire, in the deity, in the pot, on the yantra, it's always appropriate. However, most specifically, for the establishment of life, either in a murti or in the pot, we sing this this hymn. Please.
How come we didn't blow the air onto the pot?
You can blow the air onto the flower, if you like. Put the prana into the flower and offer it to the deity in the pot. You can do that.
Okay, so when do we do go and light, like, into the pot, like...
When you would do that, you would say, Om ang ang ring rong yang rang long wang shang 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 rong sa kring kali kaya ki nama prana iha prana. And for each series of mantras, you can put the prana right there. Your prana goes into the deity with the breath. Prana means breath.
And now what, so I don't understand, you're talking about doing it with the flower also.
Yeah, and put the prana either onto the flower.
And so each one you would offer different
flowers? No, put the four breaths on the one flower. Offer that to the deity, or you can blow right into the deity if you're in close enough proximity.
Now, question.
Please.
When you pick up the flowers and you take down your puja at the end of the day, you do the pranahuti. Is that the taking back of the prana?
Yes, that's just what we do, especially when we use the Visarjan mudra and we pick up the flower like this. And we put it back in our heart. Kshamashya. So what we've done is established the prana in the deity on the flower. And then we've picked up the flower and we put it back into our heart. And then the deity is free to go off and visit other devotees.
Now, we don't pick that flower that we sit on. Don't we pick it up with, we don't pick that up with the mudra?
The flower that we
sit on our seat?
No.
No.
No. No, that's the flower that goes under your asan is for the purification of the asan. So what you're saying is, I've drawn a yantra on the earth. I put a flower in the center of the yantra. I closed it, covered it with my asan. And now I'm sitting on a yantra just like every other deity sits. So that's different from pran pratishtha.
Oh, so if we do the pran pratishtha without a flower by blowing on the deity, what do we pick up with the mudra then?
You'll have a pran pratishtha flower. You will have a flower that you've offered. So you'll pick up that flower. If not, I always pick up the flower in the yantra, in the center of the puja. I make visarjan. What would you call visarjan? Taking back the prana. I make visarjan at the end of the day. So I'll take that flower that's in the center of the yantra and put it back in my heart.
Not at the end of the puja, end of the day.
At the end of the period for worship. So in our case, the end of the period for worship is somewhere around 8 o'clock at night. And then we go into a different sankalpa. So we worship from 5 in the morning till 8 at night. And then the yantra flower will stay there, or the prana pratishtha flower will stay there the entire day.
Now, where do you usually put your prana pratishtha flower? On what place in the puja?
On what place in the location? That you'll see directly in front of Kali, the small murti in the front, there's a special flower right in front of that one.
But he establishes every day pot.
Yeah.
I establish the pot every day.
Yeah.
On top of fruit.
On top of fruit.
You can put on top of the fruit, or you can put it at the foot of the pot. Either one is okay. So here we are, reading the hymn of the establishment of life. All the gods are fragments of the cosmic whole. Also, all the asuras are fragments of the cosmic whole. Thus, we make a house to contain all these energies. All of creation is going inside that pot. In the mouth of the pot is Vishnu. In the neck resides Rudra. At the base is situated Brahma. And in the middle, remember, the multitude of mothers. In the belly are the seven seas and the seven islands of the earth. The rivers, Arjuni, Gomati, Chandrabhaga, Saraswati, Kaveri, Krishnabena, the Ganges and other great rivers, the Tapti, Godavari, Mahindri and Narmada, the various rivers and the greatest of beings born and all the respected places of pilgrimage upon the earth are established within this pot. Nowhere else to go. It's all going to pot. All the seas, the rivers and waters from all the respected places of pilgrimage have been brought for the peace of that which is bad or wicked. So we went to all, I mean, just in this instant, we went to all the sacred rivers, we brought some water, and we went to all the oceans and brought some water, and all the pilgrimage places, we brought some water. We brought all that water back here just instantly and poured it into the pot. The Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, the Sama Veda, and Atharva Veda, along with all their limbs, assembled together in this pot. Got all the Vedas there. Here, Gayatri, Savitri, peace and increase have been brought for the peace of that which is bad or wicked. all the negativities will be at peace. The gods and Asuras speaking together are the great givers of churning to the mind. Remember when we churned the milk ocean? The gods were on one side, the Asuras were on the other side. They wanted to make the nectar of immortal bliss, and they started churning, and they haven't stopped since. Rise to the top of this pot to separate them from what is actually Vishnu himself. So as we churn, we allow them to churn, and the nectar of immortal consciousness rises to the top of the pot, and then we get to distinguish what is Vishnu, pure consciousness, and what is the lesser modified consciousness. Within you are all the pilgrimage places. All the gods are situated within you. All existence is established within you. All life is established within you. You alone are Shiva. You are Brahma and Vishnu, the sons of Aditi, the finders of the wealth, Rudra, the universal deities and the ancestors. All and everything has been established in you, from whence you grant the fruits of desires. From you comes the blessed fruit of the sacrifice performed with excellence. May those riches increase. Manifest your presence within us, Lord. Always be pleased. So everything, all our attention has gone into that pot. That pot becomes a container of consciousness. We put all our awareness right there on the pot. And within is all existence, all creation, all divinity. All the problems of the world, all the negativities are also there. All the places of pilgrimage, all the pure waters, they're all there. We can focus on that pot to the exclusion of delusion. And that pot becomes our murti, our deity, our ishta, our desired form of worship. All divinity is symbolized as existing in that pot. We bow to he who shines like crystal, to he who emits excellent clarity and excellent welfare, with the net of unity in his hand, who takes the form of a fish, to the Lord of all waters, and that which dwells within, we bow, we bow. We bow to he with the net of unity in his hand, seer of the life of the lotus one. With this meritorious invocation, please make your presence manifest. So here we're bowing to Vishnu, to the infinite consciousness, who has separated himself from all the other stuff in the pot. He rose to the top and filled us with consciousness. And now all of our awareness is consumed by this pot. This pot is the symbol of divinity to us. And we forgot about the rest. There's nothing in existence outside the pot. We just put the entire existence inside. Do we have any questions about pot? Please.
First one, when we do the rolling of the hands.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
Yes, karoltal kar, hand over hand is what it says. Karoltal kar, prishtabhyam in the backside, astraya pat, with the weapon of virtue, we purify. Everything that these hands touch as a servant of God is all touched with the purity, divested selfishness. We've divested ourselves of selfishness, and now with this purity, karoltal kar prishtabhyam astraya pat. Everything we touch is touched with mantra. We've established the mantra in the fingers. So now there's no more selfishness here. It's all been eradicated with the weapon of virtue. And the virtue, the greatest virtue, is to divest ourselves of selfishness, to act on behalf of godly nature.
Now this is another mudra?
This is a form of mudra. You would call this a kriya. Kriya, an action which involves mudra, but it is another mudra.
Can we hold our hands this way?
Om krang angus de biang de ba. Om kring tar de di biang spa. Krung ba de ba biang anamika biang hum krong kanish de kambo sa. Kra karolta kaprish de biang astraya. I use tatwa mudra.
When we roll it.
When you're rolling hands. Okay. Now, but these are mudras. And the whole Vidi is a kriya. Karolta kaprishta byangastraya pat.
Could you roll? Chidananda?
Roll it.
Not this way.
Karolta kaprishta byangastraya. One. Yeah. Karolta kaprishta byang. Backwards. The backside. Astraya pat.
Now, the physical action of doing that, what is that doing? Is it doing something?
Yes. It does.
You gotta feel that? Feel. Feel
something's
that.
Going on. I don't know what
feel that with mantra, that yeah. energy.
So we do it one more time slowly.
Karotho karprishtabhyam astraya pat. As we do it, you can feel that purity, that virtue, that clarity, that intention becoming manifest, and feel that energy coming into your hands.
I mean, avartan and vivartan.
Yes, Mother. Yes. Yes, Mother. Avartan kibbutan. You're just revolving, you're churning with the weapon of virtue. And that physical action, that kriya, actually establishes virtue in your hands, in your fingers. And the remembrance that you've established mantras on every fingertip. And now everything you touch is touched by mantra, for mantra, by the deity who's established in your heart, in your head, on top of your head, crossing both arms. Got her here. Three eyes.
When Prabhu comes, you giggle. You are Deva. It is not with head.
Please.
Which mantras do you offer the flower in?
On the pran pratishta mantras, om ang ang ring krong yang rang long wang shang sang sang, om hang sa, om ring sring kring parameshwari kali ke swaha, prana iha prana. You see those? Four mantras. Good. Yes.
So four flowers.
No, we said one mantra for the four mantras. Yes, please.
On 66, where you established the mantras in the different parts of the body?
Yes.
Why is it the mantras themselves that determine where they go in the body?
This is the Vidhi. So these are the places of residence of these mantras in the Kali Puja Vidhi.
Why is it there's 12 here, but in the Chani there's 9 at this point?
Because it's a different Vidhi. I have no logical explanation for how the rishis discovered the 12 here as opposed to the 9 there. But wait a minute. Among the among the moming the moming the moming the moming. No, that's the wrong Vidhi.
That's
the Shiva. Yeah, no, that's the Matrika Nyasa, which is common to all the pujas. Okay, well, the establishment of the Bij mantras in the Chandi, I don't think they're 9. I think...
Well, the top of the head, the 2 eyes, the 2 ears, the nostrils, mouth, and ears.
Oh, okay.
Those are the doors?
Those are the 9 doors. Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh. They're 10, I think.
There's no way to explain why there's different numbers for those?
No. No, there's something different. Here we're establishing Kali's Bij mantras in various parts of the body, just as a reminder that we are her.
It's very different one, this one. The places that we're establishing here are very different than
In the Chandi, right. Yeah. Yes. It's a different Vidhi complete. Are there other questions or topics for gossip? Then let's move on.
This may be a silly question, but...
There are no silly questions.
It's good. This was written before Freud. The ego is translated here a lot. What is the translation? What were the rishis talking about?
The rishis were talking about the sense of difference, that I am separate from the total, and a unique identity. That's called ego in our Sanskrit term. The very fact that I am separate from you, or I am different from you, or I am speaking with you, means that I have an ego and you have an ego, an individual identity which is separate or distinguished from the total. And that's the concept of ahamkar, ego, that we're talking about. It's different from being an egotist, or it's got nothing to do with any of the psychological things that Mahavira is so fond of talking about. It's really just that the very fact that we perceive separation and identify this form as something different from that form, that's what we're calling ego. So the objective in dissolving the ego is to achieve the perfect state of unity, where there is no separation, there is no difference, there is no me, there is no you. Please.
I'm hoping not to get upset when I ask this, but
Boy, am I mad.
How can we really say, or what's the reason behind saying that, for instance, all the seas and the rivers and waters from all the respective places are in the pot now? Why? In the belly of the seven seas and the seven islands of the earth, they're in the pot now. What makes them be in the pot other than us saying it?
I just put them there. With my intention. I motivated to put it there, and I went around and I thought of all the seven seas and all the rivers and places that I want to be in my pot, and then I put them there, and now there's nothing outside my pot. In fact, I'm outside the pot, and I'm looking at the pot, and wow, that's quite a pot. That's all I can think of. My perception excludes a collection of the outside world, so I can put anything I want to in them, and no one can tell me I can't. Mother is saying that all the seven seas reside within the body, and this is a passage from the Shiva Purana, and that she's not going to tell us exactly where they are right now or which waters are in which location. However, they're all within the body as well. Just as we've established the seven rivers, the land of the seven rivers is in the body, the Ira, Pingala, and the five senses. So in the same way, Mother's placing all of the seven seas inside the body as well. But even if we take one step further, with my mind, I can put all those seas into that pot. There's no reason I can't. It's my visualization. It's my guided meditation. I can see that all waters from all existence are going into that pot. Remember Agastya Muni. Gautama Muni. He had a pot. And he used to worship Gayatri Devi. Gautama would constantly recite the Gayatri Mantra. And one time it was that there was a great drought in all of India. And everyone was wanting for water, except for Gautama Muni's ashram. Every day, the cloud used to come over at the appointed time and open up right over his ashram, and there was plenty of everything in Gautama Muni's ashram. He just kept worshiping Gayatri Devi. All the Brahmins said, our circumstance out here is disastrous. This is terrible. We have nothing to feed our children. Our livestock is dying. We have no water. We can't grow any crops. We're in desperate circumstances. Let's go take refuge in Gautama Muni's ashram. And that's what they did. They went all to Gautama Muni's ashram, and they knocked on the door. And Gautama Muni opened the door, and he said, the holy Brahmins have come? What a blessing for me. And he went to his pot, and he said, pot, the holy Brahmins have come and they're seeking refuge from the dire straits of the drought. The conditions out there are not suitable for them. Let's provide them with all that they need. And he reached his hand into the pot and he pulled out asans. And he gave everyone an asan. Reached into the pot and he pulled out a komandel full of water. And he washed their feet and gave them padyam. And then he gave them orgyam, and he gave them bastram, and he gave them new cloth, and a sacred thread, and a rudraksha, and a mala, and then he gave them food, and he reached into the pot. Everything he needed to welcome those Brahmins was there in the pot. And then after they were bathed and dressed and well-fed, he reached into the pot and he brought out samid, wood for the havan. And he reached in and he brought out the masala for the havan, and ghee. And he said, worship Gayatri Devi. Everybody light a fire and say the mantra and offer the mantra to the fire. That's what Brahmins do.
That kind of need here.
Look what they're doing. Look what all these Brahmins are doing, Mother. From morning till night.
I know, but we need that kind of pot.
Oh, we need it. What's wrong with our little box?
That box makes ego. Everybody.
Oh, sorry. Ego. Well, The Brahmin started worshiping, and every day the cloud came over Gautam Muni's ashram, and it rained. And the crops grew, and there was prosperity, and everybody had plenty, and everyone started singing the praise of Gautam Muni. Everyone said, "You saved the Brahmins. You saved the Dharma. By your love of Gayatri Devi and your consistency and your worship and your determination in your sankalpa, you saved the sacred knowledge." And some of the Brahmins started thinking, "We're Brahmins. We're making yajna. We're reciting the Gayatri mantra. It's because of us that the rain comes. Why is everybody talking about Gautam Muni? They should be praising the Brahmins." And this demented way of thinking clouded their consciousness with ego and attachment. And what they did was take an old sickly cow and they prodded the cow into the yajnashala where Gautam Muni was making the sacred fire. And Gautam Muni said the mantra, "Hung Fat Swaha." He made the offering into the fire. The fire shot up to the roof and the cow fell over and died. And the Brahmin said, "Chi, chi, 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 chi. The Muni killed the cow. Gohatya. He's Mahapatak. He's a great sinner. He has wronged the Sanatana Dharma." Everyone was singing his praise. Look at, they're singing the praise of a sinner like that. Gautam looked deeply inside himself, and he saw the entire event. He saw how subtle is egotism that gives birth to such anger and attachment that you even bite the hand that feeds. He got mad. He took some Ganga water in his hand, and he said, "I curse you, Brahmin. You'll forget all your knowledge. I curse you, Brahmins, you will stop wearing Rudraksha and tilaks and a sacred thread. I curse you, Brahmins, you will go to America and become computer programmers. I curse you, you will leave your dharma. You'll only make puja for money. You'll only sell your dharma. Whatever philosophy, whatever yoga you've learned, it'll be for sale. And it'll be a means of your livelihood rather than your life." And he threw that Ganga water. When the Ganga water touched the heads of all the cursed Brahmins, they all fell at the feet of Gautam Muni, begged for forgiveness. And Gautam, being so compassionate, said, "I defer this curse until the Kali Yuga." Then the Brahmin said, "How can we be freed from the curse?" And Gautam, in his wisdom and compassion, he said, "When all of you start chanting Gayatri Mantra again, when you wear Rudraksha, when you wear the sacred thread, when you're not ashamed to wear a tilak, when you do the morning puja and you do the homa and you recite the scriptures, the curse will be removed." Now, our job is to go around the world and inspire all the Brahmins to start living like Brahmins again. And the only way we can do that is to show them an example of how Brahmins live. So that's the duty with which Mother has assigned us. She has entrusted to us this duty of demonstrating to all the Brahmins, all the spiritual seekers, everywhere, what it means to live in the rhythm of Dharma. You can all feel what happens during the Navaratri. Today's only the fourth day. And just feel how you're moving into this rhythm of worship and how it feels. Something like you'd want to share it with all the spiritual seekers everywhere. You want to live it all the time so that all this world can become freed from the curse. Because in reality, if the teachers have forgotten their knowledge, then what will the students learn? If the teachers will only sell their dharma, what students could possibly learn? If they make a business out of spirituality, what will the students learn? And that was the story of Gautam Muni's pot. Namaste. Om Sang Sarasvati Namaha. Jai.
Sometimes you tell a story about Gautam Muni a different way, and the way the Godavari River came to become the Gautami.
Right.
That's two names.
Uh huh.
And is it the same story?
Same story. Huh.
But differently.
Yeah. Same story. There was a different aspect. But that at that time, I was telling the story of how the Godavari came. And that was that.
In Triambakesh.
In Triambakeshwar.
But didn't he do tapasya for
12 years? Yeah.
He did tapasya after that came, yeah.
Right. Different aspect of the story.
Okay.
Do you know the Puranas, they just go on and on and on. And if I were to tell them all tonight, well, you guys would be here for a long time. In fact, do you remember when...
No.
Excuse me.
Could you remind
me? Well, the rishis were looking for a place to hide from Kali Yuga. They saw that Kali Yuga was going to approach, and they were running from Kali Yuga, and they decided, where will we go? And they went to the forest of Naimisharanya. And Naimisharanya happens to be in Napa. And there all the rishis sat down, and Sanat Kumar began to tell the stories of the Puranas. And they told all the stories of the Puranas. And it was really a fun time to be sitting there, because you got to hear them all firsthand. And that's sort of, it went on for a long time.
By the time you got done, Kali Yuga was over.
Yeah.
Kali Yuga is not here.
It's not here. Not in the Devi Mandir. Not in Naimisharanya. Namaste.